emotions were up and down as circumstances changes. Certainly New England, and we weren't elsewhere in the nation, but certainly here in New England and probably elsewhere. You know, we went up and down, we went up and down, and then we went up. In the midst of our living our own lives and our own crises that we shared here today, our entire population was in crisis. Now, I desire to bring a message of hope and comfort and truth. And so it was important for me to pay attention to what was happening to all of us in one way or another. Some preachers probably just ignore the whole week, but probably very few, probably not ones that will be well thought of come tomorrow morning. So, here's the sermon I put together yesterday. Trusting and hoping that nothing happened between yesterday and this morning. Didn't hear about the snowboards, which makes this great sound. But you know, turn on the news, I did, I never knew this. I turned on the radio driving up just to see if there was some late breaking thing that had stopped all radios. I pray, though, that what I share today from God's word buries deeply into your soul, that it's useful for you not just in this week, but in every week and in all times. And that deep that calls to deep, calling forth from our inner sphere, that these words will root deeply. What is true and good and from the Lord will say, and then will bring forth new life. So a couple of things. You know, you may have heard this. You never know what people have heard and what they haven't heard, and so I'm not going to be talking about this too terribly much, but there have been quite a few April Patriots Day tragedies in America in recent years. Patriots Day is celebrated on the third Monday in April, so the date can widely vary, or vary somewhat. And I don't think it's really celebrated in any places that Massachusetts and Maine anyway. And yet, did you hear any Patriots Day tragedies? They pile right up when you begin to look. You start with the French Davidians in Waco, Texas in 93, the Oklahoma City bombing in 95, the Columbine High School massacres in 99, which did coincide with Hitler's birthday that year, so we kind of looked at it in that much, but it was a Patriots Day event. The Virginia Tech campus shooting in 2007. All those perpetrated by people who do not want us to love and to hope and to have joy. I mean, those are pretty direct attacks, not just on those individuals, but on a people. And again, our nation, our people, we have responded. We will not be defined by these tragedies. We will not let these perpetrators win. We will move forward.
That's
okay. Was that on the page? Well, 50. Well, right, well,
April
was
50.
That's what you should have done. See? Tell me. April's about time. Sometimes over, but that's what it is. Also, true on a large level, but also true on personal levels. Some of us have been, had tough, really, really tough lives. Some of us have been victims of child abuse. Some of us grew up in an alcoholic home. Some of us grew up in poverty. Some of us perhaps were abandoned. Some of us adopted and never felt loved. Some of us had spouses who have betrayed us or committed adultery. We've had things happen in our lives on personal levels as well. And we have to continue to declare we will not be defined by our tragedies. These things impact us and they change us, for sure. But our past is not our future. And we must continually declare in the power of Jesus Christ. These things do not stop us. These things do not define who we are. We will not let evil win. And yet, these things do shake us to the core. They shake us to the core. As people of faith, I'm here to remind you today to remember and declare again who you are and whose you are and why you're here. In some ways, very simple. You are created by Him, and your task, your purpose, is very broad and very pertinent. Do you know why you're here? Jesus tells us, hey, you are here. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. You lose your way, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go. That's the grounding point of our faith. Love God. Love your neighbor. We can talk about all the permutations that come out of that, but if you got that, you know where you're headed. You know where you're running toward. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you would love yourself. So here we are with this story by Jesus. There's some people that are talking to Jesus, and they come to Jesus, and they are very upset. There are horrible things happening, and one in particular gets mentioned. They come and they tell Jesus about these Galileans whose blood Pilate has mixed with their sacrifices. We don't know all the details of this, and I don't need to get into the nitty-gritty, but basically, there are some Jewish folks that Pilate had slaughtered, and he took their blood and he mixed it with the sacrifices they were making. Part of quelling a rebellion. It was horrible in the worst case. And they bring this information to Jesus. They say, don't you care? Doesn't God care? What's going on? And Jesus says, do you think that these people were worse than other people just because this happened to them? In those days, people figured bad things happened to you was because you were sinners. Some of that lingers even today. And then he does it one better. He says, well, how about this other one that's going on in a popular event? There was this tower in Siloam, and it fell, and it killed 18 people. Do you think those people were worse than the other people? He said, no. That was kind of the big issue of the day. No, they weren't worse sinners than everybody else. But in each of those times, he says, but. So pay attention. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. He's saying God does not cause bad things to happen to good people. Bad things do happen to all kinds of people. But what I want you to focus on, but unless you too repent, you will perish. And then he told this really, really hard parable about a fig tree. Did you catch that? There's this fig tree, it's making no fruit. God says, it was okay, cut it down. It's not making any fruit. And the vineyard, the gardener says, no, give it one more time. I'll fertilize, I'll water, I'll try to make it grow fruit. He says, okay, I'll give you a year. Coming on the heels of this current event story, horrible. And I'm thinking to myself, Jesus, what are you doing? These people are in grief, they are anxious, they are sad, they come to you with these things that are happening around them that have them very worried. Why are you scaring them with stories about their own imminent destruction? I couldn't get away with that. You could get away with that. I really think that Jesus is recalling them to who they are and whose they are. He's saying, this stuff is way beyond you. I can't explain it to you. You don't have the mind to understand. And that's not the point. The point is, turn away from sin and turn toward God. And you'll know that you've turned toward God by how you live. An intellectual and a sense of belief are not enough. He's saying, by your fruits, you know who you are and whose you are. By your fruit, you know who you are and whose you are. And so I just want to kind of remind you, right now, in the aftermath of this national crisis, what does good fruit look like? And what kind of fruit is Jesus looking for from you? You have heard it said, hate your enemies. But Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. how are we going to raise an enrollment? Well, you can say all you want about love your enemies and rank those who persecute you, but are you living it? And what does it look like? As a writer, here we are safely ensconced in this obscure form of paradise of Western Maine. This week, we watched the television while we sat up here. We are not going, you know, we knew. We're not going to recognize the subject number two in the white baseball cap. I mean, it wasn't anything new, right? No. We're not, by and large, being the crowd, skilled surgeons able to save life and limbs. That wasn't going to be our secret. And we're not in West Texas, able to dig through the rubble. It's easy to feel helpless and ineffectual. But we can't do nothing. And Jesus does not call us to do nothing. We do a lot more than hand-wringing, a lot more than talking, although talking is important. I want to give you a key word today. If you don't like what kind of fruit are you making, the other you say is run forward. It's a mixed metaphor. Running fruit is just, that reminds me of fruit a little. But whatever works for you, key word. Running forward. Give you a couple of word pictures. Because it is very good news. It's just taking a while to get there. Remember December? Remember Sandy Hook Elementary School? Still closed. You know that, right? The children are attending school elsewhere. Well, you know what's happening in Newtown, Connecticut? Nothing. The downtown is suffering. Offices are closing. Shops are empty. Restaurants are closing. And it's not just the lost traffic from the school closing. People living nearby don't visit anymore. They don't go to the downtown shops. They're not going to the restaurants. They don't feel comfortable. It's eerie. It's depressing. It's an article on public radio this weekend. But there's this one guy. And so when that itself is sad, an interesting reaction looks like that. But one of them, there's one guy named Chris Bruno. And he is running forward instead of back. He purchased one of the restaurants that had closed. And he said, people did try to discourage me from taking this space, and I just really felt like this is where I wanted to be. This is where I need to be. I see life here, and I see life is going on. And so he's running forward. He's making a snap. And he's going for a new life. It's a great picture. Keep him in praise. And how many times did we hear of the marathon runners who crossed the finish line and kept running? Can't even imagine. 2 more miles to go to the nearest hospital to donate blood. They were running forward, weren't they? They were running forward. And how many times did we see that footage right after the glass for what police and other workers were doing what? Running toward the glass, eager to help the victims. They were not running away in fear, but they were running forward. Like they are running forward in faith. Yesterday morning, we did a mission on public radio with Scott Simon. I don't know if anybody follows Scott Simon, I have to. Did a commentary on this entire crazy week. And he said this. He said, this week's assault and tragedy in Boston could have caused scrambling, frightened panic. Instead, it revealed character. People running unflinchingly into smoke and fire and blood. They worked through weariness, opened their arms, and gave them their hearts. There was even a restaurant that was open so people from the race could come and stumble in for warmth and shelter and comfort. He said, I was struck by the calm, serious resolve not to be intimidated. Bostonians refused to lose their trust for one another. The locals, what did he say? Now me, I live in Maine. I've really been in Maine since 1981. Went to college, left briefly to go to grad school, came back. But I'm not a Mainer. Born and raised in Massachusetts. And I'm often embarrassed by my Massachusetts roots living here in Maine. People like to be mine here, but I'll never be accepted as a real in your sharing, the deed was issued by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. That piece of land went back in that family to where Maine actually was Massachusetts. Did you see that? The funeral home had been Farmington for years. I think it's changed hands now. The Adams family funeral home. You go in, and on the wall, there was the original charter for the funeral home signed by John Hancock. Original, on the wall. So, Farmington is a tough kid to not be from Maine. I know I'm from New Haven, but I was often a little bit embarrassed to admit I grew up on the red line of the MBTA. My family has some powerful accents, particularly my middle sister. It only comes back when I'm very tired. How many of you heard the Bruins singing the national anthem? And forget what those who have been built about.
His own donate to the survivors fund. It's my backstop, wasn't your last.
here, elsewhere. Here's one. Hire a seasonal unemployed worker to clean up your yard. We have a lot of unemployed people here very soon. Donate to the food closet. Donate to the thrift store. Look through your closet. Clothes closet. Attend a Bible study and learn all that you can so you can give an account of the faith that you have. Listen to the stories of the grieving. One of the things that happens in tragedies like this is all the grief of your life comes back to the front. The child you lost, the spouse you lost. Not only do we need to tell this story, we need to tell the stories of our loss in general. Listen. Listen to one another. Often you pray when you know someone is hurting and actually do it. How many times do we all pray for you? But we don't. So you mentioned the Randy Kluke event last night. Amazing, fascinating to see what that brings in terms of money. It brought amazing gifts just in terms of the community coming together. Those of you who know Randy or know Dana, who runs kind of a lodging here at the mountain, if you missed that, if you want to have a chance to contribute to that, in any case, there's a card on that table for Randy and Dana for you to send. Love to send them again. We're thinking of you, card. There is also a basket. If you miss that and you want to make a donation to them, you can either make a check out to Dana Kluke, or you can just make it out to the church and we'll put some cash in. We'll fund it for you again to them if you felt like you missed being part of that community. Finally, I received a lot. So there's some edible fruit. You can go with more. I'm just trying to get thinking. I received a lot of positive comments after I sent out a letter from Pastor Steve Barnes Holmes at kind of a marathon of kindness. I like the way he said, kind of reflected on what was happening, and I kind of sent it out. He's a United Methodist minister now serving in Massachusetts. Later on this week, he sent another letter out called Post-Traumatic Tenderness Syndrome. I love Post-Traumatic Tenderness Syndrome, and I took a couple of his comments to finish. And he writes, "Dearly beloved, grace and peace to you. Since the Boston Marathon bombing, people around here have been more gentle, respectful, and attentive than usual. Even Boston traffic is oddly kind-hearted." For a moment, sometimes wrapped in the mantle of heroism, quote, "We won't let them win, we'll be strong," we are moved to reveal who we most deeply are, good and kind and wonderful people. Of course, it'll wear off. We'll become taught and self-centered again soon enough. Our resolve to never forget will degrade into mere bitterness or politics. But those of us, those of you, who live in the radiant shadow of the cross, who follow the Lamb who was slaughtered, cannot forget. Not in resentment, but in repentance. This is what it means to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, tending to the victims of violence. We have been changed. We know the spirit of this life is love, that our true being is goodness, and every person in this world is God's tender beloved, worthy of our most heroic care. From now on, if there is blood on our hands, it will be because we have rushed to heal, not to exert our will. Every once in a while, we are given the chance to see this. This is who we really are, and who we were created to be. This is the purpose of our life. We are called to be compassionate, trusting the power of love over fear, with a heightened awareness of others and sensitivity to their suffering and vulnerability. And so we pray not to carry on as usual, but to be changed, to let our old lives of self-serving anxiety die, and to be raised to life of pure love and hope. We become, each in our own way, part of the healing of this world, and it is happening even now. Would you please join me in prayer? Lord, may these words be true in our life and in our actions, not just in our thoughts. May we be truly willing to run toward your call, to run forward into need. May we be willing to produce fruit that really is in keeping with our lives as children of God. Lord, may we give more to our lives than lip service. May we live with our feet. May we live with our hands. May we Concern breeds concern. You heard the rest, even more than I could count out loud. The snowboarders and their families. Justin Perry, Nicole's mother, Jessica Walker, and Randy Kruppi. Ann Walsh's brother, Dave's brother Jeff. Goes on and on. We pray for the power of your spirit to be active in these situations and the power of healing to come to bear and the power of comfort to cover it all. And we do pray. Keep us faithful to pray. Pray for those in West Texas and the aftermath. We continue to pray for what's happening in Boston and how those things will permeate out. The earthquake in China. The flooding. It goes on and on. And yet, Lord, we are people of your kingdom. We are your children. And we choose to say love and hope and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. We would live and be these things. A grateful people. Grateful that doors are springing to say. Grateful that relationships are reconciled. Grateful for the children and people who lose. Lord, we receive this day the gift of being your beloved children. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we live a life worthy of that calling. And in that we pray for no less than the kingdom of God to live within us. The kingdom of God to be amongst us, and for us to live and work and move for the kingdom of God manifest in this earth. And so we pray as one, Lord, bind us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I wasn't sure how to finish this time of worship together, and so I wanted to choose a song that really takes us out in joy. This is a song about freedom, ironically enough, and about joy. And we've done it a couple times this winter, but I'm not too many people over it today and enjoy it. I encourage you, if you're visiting with us today, to sign the guest book. Make sure we have your address when we thank you. I know that there's snack today. And let's finish this time together strongly. Let's rise and sing together.